From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa, Doaksuk Nusum, Slamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, a preview of the Early Learning Fair happening this Friday from the Association of Education of Young Children. A chat with the Juno Chamber of Commerce on upcoming events. A sneak peek at Thursday night's after-school special concert at the Gold Town Theater featuring Marion Call, Molly Lewis, and more. And the friends of the Jensen Olsen Arboretum are here with a look at the upcoming summer season. Those conversations plus garden talk and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. And just an announcement before we begin. If your child will be 5 years old by September 1st, then it's time to get ready for kindergarten. The Juno School District Kindergarten Registration Day is this Thursday, April 25th, from 1 to 5 p.m. at your neighborhood school. Please bring a birth certificate with immunization records to register. And you can find out more information at junoschools.org.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk are ye tin. Jin Katka K Jin Tauk Anakaya ha on a cock, Gunnish Cheesh.
You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ok Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Friday, April 26th, from 4 to 6:30 p.m. at the Southeast AEYC, the Association of the for the Education of Young Children, present the annual Early Learning Fair. It's an opportunity for parents and children between 0 to 5 years old to discover resources and opportunities through a variety of the 15 partner organizations that will be in attendance. It will be taking place at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, 2961 Riverside Drive. And for more, you can visit aeyc-sea.org. And in the studio now to share about this are Alexa Simpson, who's the project coordinator, as well as from Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, Molly Briggs and Jamie Shanley. Gunath Cheesh, Hat Ye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here in the studio today. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
Going good. Thank you for having us.
Ah, yake. Good. So let's talk about this. So the Early Learning Fair, it's an annual event. It's an annual tradition. And this year, Alexa, you are the project coordinator. So tell us a little bit about what the Early Learning Fair is.
Yeah. So it is a resource for families to come in and meet with organizations in Juno here. It will be for a variety of children of the different ages. So there will be postpartum and pregnancy programs there to speak with parents, literacy resources. The school district will be there. So if you forget to register on Thursday, you can do that at the event. Again, just bring your birth certificate and the vaccination records. And what am I missing? Prizes, yes.
Prizes.
There will be.
I love that whisper.
Yes.
From Molly. She's like, prizes.
Yes, there will be a ton of prizes. And the cool thing is there's no drawing for the prizes. So if you come, you get a prize as long as they're available. So the first 50 families to show up to the event get a $50 IGA gift card.
Whoa.
And, yeah. And then this year we bought all of the prizes from the local Imagination Station.
Ooh.
Yeah. So a lot of great stuff if you've ever been there. They have awesome toys. And it will be toys for infants, toddlers, up to age five.
I love that. So, and I know I mentioned the ages in the beginning, sort of 0 to 5. And so you're saying there are some pregnancy and other information. So maybe that's where the 0 comes in.
Yes, exactly.
Pre-born, right?
Like yeah.
Not even born yet. So you can find out a little bit about the different options that are available. So what kind of organizations will be there?
Yep. So Baby Raven Reads will be there. And Parents as Teachers, which is affiliated with AEYC. The Imagination Library, which is the Dolly Parton program where kids get a monthly free book. We will have Reach, the infant learning program there. We will have the Birth Center. So if you're pregnant and you need resources or information about the Birth Center, they'll be there. Bartlett Beginnings. They will be there. Sarah Gress will be there talking about car seat safety. So if anyone's like me, car seat stuff can be kind of intimidating with the young kiddos. And then the school district, as well as charter school and a few different preschools as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Alexa, how did you get to be the project coordinator?
Yes. Yeah, so I am on the board of AEYC.
Okay.
And
that answers all the questions. Yes. You're on the board. You're it.
Yes, right? Exactly. I needed someone to do it. So
I see. And how's it been? Has it been enjoyable?
It's been great. It's been awesome getting to know all the partners. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the families come as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know there's also going to be, this is at Diamond Park Fieldhouse. And so I saw a note that said that there will be toys out for the kiddos. So this isn't just for parents, right? You can bring the young kids. They'll have something to do while maybe the parents are learning at the different organizations, or the kids can even meet people from the different organizations. And of course, they could maybe even read a book. We're going to get to that in just a second. So there'll be all kinds of stuff for the kids to do as well, right?
Yes. Yep. So if anyone's been to the Turf or Tots, it will be all of those toys, slides, balls, cars. It'll be a lot of fun for the kids.
That's nice. And it says there's screenings available. What are the screenings that are available?
Yeah, the screenings are for hearing and hearing and vision.
Hearing and vision. Okay. Yep. So you can get that tested. And is that at any age, or is it a certain age that begins?
At any age.
Okay.
Yeah. And there will also be public health there, too. So if anyone has further questions, they'll be there. Yep.
Yeah, this is a big event.
Yeah, there's more than 15 different partners that will be coming.
That's amazing. And one of those partners, and we have two representatives here today from SHI, Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, Baby Raven Reads, very popular series from SHI. Tell us a little bit about Baby Raven Reads.
Sure. So Baby Raven Reads has been around for quite a few years. And Molly can speak more specifically to how many years. We've published over 30 books that are focused on culturally responsive, and we incorporate some language into some of the books, place-based early literacy books. So you may have seen one of our more recent publications called Celebration, where we highlight the biannual event that Sea Alaska Heritage puts on from the perspective of a child. And it was written by Lily Hope. And so Baby Raven is excited to partner with AEYC. We have a long history of partnership with their early childhood programming and to be part of this event.
That's awesome. And Maggie, how long has it been around? Molly, sorry, not Maggie.
Oh, that's
Molly.
Okay. Actually, 10 years ago, the pilot program came out in 2014. And we've been going steady since 2017, but those 3 years were the pilot program to see if it was going to work out. And we've served 17 different communities, mostly in Southeast, including Anchorage as well. So.
Wow. And how do you choose the authors and the illustrators? Is it something you're putting together, or is it people are bringing the project to you?
All of our authors and artists are Indigenous. Jamie brought up Celebration, which was written by Lily Hope, and it was illustrated by Kelsey Mata Foote. And we have kind of just a relationship with a lot of different artists that we continue to work with, and we're always open and looking for more people, as far as I know.
So if people are interested and want to contact, how would they do that?
They could contact babyravenreads@seaalaska.org.
babyravenreads at
cealaska.com.
Cealaska.com. Well, there's also an org, right? There's both. Yeah, I think there's both. So it's confusing when you got both, I guess, right? Yeah. And haven't you also turned some of those books into audio and or video as well?
Yes. We've translated some of our books into Tlingit, Hadkil, and Shmaliek, and some of those recordings are on YouTube. You can find them at our website in the language section of our website. We've also have some songs on there and some language lessons. SHI has done amazing things to help perpetuate and cultivate our languages that have been unfortunately endangered. So
yeah, that's great. And what is it that's important about partnering with the Early Learning Fair? What does that get for you to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that in order to perpetuate the culture and the languages, we have to start at zero.
Yes.
We can start speaking these languages in utero, and they're going to absorb that, because when a human is developing language, we are all capable of speaking all of the different phonemes, but the ones that are spoken to us in the first 3 years of life are going to stick with us. And so if we are going to revitalize the languages that have been lost, it's important to start from the beginning of life.
I remember when my daughter was really young and she was in school, and there was another young girl in the class with her. And it was just really interesting, and because the father was German and the mother was Japanese, and the father only spoke German to her and the mother only spoke Japanese to her. And then at school, of course, she was English, right? So I was just amazed by that, because like by the age of 3 or 4, she was trilingual, you know, and I always wondered like what would happen to that person later, because of I just think it's so important. Like the education at that young age is so vital. Right. Mm-hmm. And that is where it all begins, because we see that we see the success of that, you know, and as the languages are being revitalized, it's so important to keep passing that on. And it's great to see the generations doing that and having more of that involvement. So obviously, I guess being here at the Early Learning Fair is vital, right?
Mm, I agree. Vital. Yes. And language literacy, it's all tied in together. And so what we do in our program, the Baby Raven Reads program, is we develop different culturally relevant activities to go along with each book. And so we're going to have some of these activities available at the Early Learning Center. One that we're going to have is we've made beads out of Devil's Club, and we have some strings so they can practice that fine motor skill. We also have some new bookmarks that are this beautiful form line design that Nick Foote developed for us. And it talks about the stories being passed down from generation to generation, all in this beautiful form line. And so that we have that available for the kids to color in. And then it also has our enrollment information and more information about our program on the back.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun. So, Alexa, how do people find out more? Do they have to register? Do they have to go online and do anything? Or where can they find out more information?
So on the AEYC website, they can find more information, but they don't have to register. Just show up to the field house and someone will greet you, and the kids can play, do activities with different partners, and the parents can get information.
Is there munchies?
There will be snacks afterwards. So once everyone is starting to kind of leave, they can choose a snack to take with, because snacks on the turf.
No snacks on the turf. Obviously, that is so important. Well, it is the Southeast AEYC's Early Learning Fair. It's happening this Friday, April 26th, from 4 to 6:30 p.m. It's at the Diamond Park Field House, which is 2961 Riverside Drive. And for more information, you can go to aeyc-sea.org. And of course, if you want to find out more about Baby Raven Reads, you can search that and look at their YouTube, or find it on the Sea Alaska Heritage website, sealaskaheritage.com or .org. Either one probably has info for that information. I think if you just Google Baby Raven Reads, you'll find it. So Alexa, Molly, and Jamie, thank you so much for coming in today. It was a pleasure chatting with you all about this cool event.
Gonna cheesh.
All right. Up next, we'll check in with the Juneau Chamber of Commerce about some upcoming events. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. But first, a little Sounds Wild.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
On a summer day, a field of fireweed is buzzing with a swarm of bumblebees. Insects are common throughout Alaska in summer, but they disappear in winter. How do they survive Alaska's freezing temperatures for more than half the year? Insects overwinter as adults, pupa, or as eggs. Mosquitoes overwinter as eggs and are some of the first insects to emerge, the eggs hatching in the icy water that forms when the snow first melts in early spring. They spend a couple of months as aquatic larvae before flying into the air as adults. Moths can overwinter as eggs, as caterpillars, or as pupa in a cocoon. Tussock moths may stay in the caterpillar stage for several years, feeding in summers and freezing each winter before finally overwintering in a cocoon and emerging in the spring as a moth. Worker bumblebees die in the fall, but bumblebee queens hibernate. They mate in the fall and emerge in the spring ready to lay eggs that hatch and quickly grow into worker bees. A second brood emerges in summer and includes males and fertile females who are candidates to be next year's queen bumblebee. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The mission of the Juno Chamber of Commerce is to support economic diversity, encourage entrepreneurship, and endorse responsible, sustainable development to maintain Juno's high quality of life while advocating for the economic vitality for all of Alaska. I love that. It's all about advancing the economy and providing resources and leadership in a variety of ways. It's all at junochamber.com. And joining me now is Maggie McMillan, Executive Director. Gunathchish Ha'igudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. Wasiyati, how's it going?
It's going great today, Boston. It's so sunny outside that I can't help but smile. So.
I know, it really feels like spring might actually be here. And, you know, it's almost summer, which is wild that spring's just getting here. But we're getting there. We're so close. It's still a little chilly, but it's nice to see the sun, right? So if we can get the temperature up a little bit, that'll be great. So tell us a little bit about the Juno Chamber of Commerce.
So the Juno Chamber of Commerce is over 100 years old. So we were here before we were a state. I can't exactly figure out how old we are because we didn't incorporate until the 60s when we became a state, right? So we are a staff of four. I'm the executive director. I started out 4 years ago as the executive assistant. We also have a government affairs person who monitors state and local government. And we have an administrative coordinator and an executive assistant. And we do a lot for four people. We monitor city budget. We meet with city officials. We throw awesome events that are networking events. Everyone, when they look at our list of priorities, is always amazed that there are only four of us that work the way that we do. But we're really passionate about our mission. We were really, really passionate about the community and especially the business community. And we love working every day to make it a strong and vital one here in Juno.
Small but mighty.
Yes.
I mean, you could probably say that about Juno as well, just overall, right?
Yes.
So that's kind of fun. And you're really supporting sort of not just the business, but sort of the whole economic vitality of the city and how that relates to even around the state, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. And we represent about 275 businesses, and they're not just in Juneau. We also represent all the major cruise lines. They all invest in our Chamber of Commerce and in the business community by being members of our chamber. So we have huge members, and then we have little tiny members down to individuals who are retired people who just see what we do and like what we do and continue to support our mission even after they're out of the business community.
So if somebody wants to become a member, they can do that at the website, right? Or they can find out how to do that.
Yes, it's really easy. We have a form on the website, but we really like people-to-people contact. So you're going to be able to fill out a form, but you're not going to be able to finalize anything. You're going to talk to one of us first because we want to make sure that we're the chamber you all deserve. So we want to talk to you about what you want to get out of your membership, and we want to make sure it's a great fit for you.
Yeah. And I know you also have, is it still a weekly luncheon that everybody goes to?
So I just switched it. We're going bi-weekly starting in May through visitor season. Our attendance tended to drop because a lot of our members are super busy this time of year. So I took that into account and I thought, let's really focus on having two solid programs a month. So we're starting that in May and we're going to do that all the way through December. We'll go back to weekly luncheons through session. We were at weekly luncheons all through session. Between everything that happens at the legislature and the commissioners that are in town, we have a ton of really good programming through session. So we'll stay weekly then.
Yeah, I see. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, and you can find out more information about those as well on the website, junochamber.com. So let's talk about some of these events. There's one happening this Saturday.
It's like one of my most favorite ones too. It's called Spirits of Alaska. And we named it that for two reasons. It celebrates spirits like distilled spirits here in the state. And it's actually one of the largest spirits tasting events in this state. We have 9 distilleries from across as far as Fairbanks and then Skagway, Ketchikan, Haynes. But we'll have 9 distilleries up the tram. We celebrate the spirits, but we also are celebrating the spirit of Alaska. And we do this fun raffle thing where people get things like adventures in our own backyard. I think we forget that people spend so much money to get here to experience things, and we don't do the dog sleddings or the helicopter tours because it seems touristy. But I promise you, when you go on them, you understand why they're so amazing and why people travel from all over the world here to do them.
The whale watching tours are some of the best things you can do, and you always forget that it's an option, right? Yeah.
And I mean, for a local, everyone should pay attention. A lot of nonprofits do whale watches throughout season for a good cause. So it's always a good time to look for whale watching.
And so that's this Saturday. It's at the top of the Gold Belt Tram. It's from 5:30 to 8:30. Do you have to get a ticket in advance?
Yes. So tickets are on our website too, junochamber.com. It's a very, very full website, but it's super easy to navigate. So if you go to our events tab, you'll see all of our calendar and you can register for any event that we have on there. But Spirits of Alaska is coming up on Saturday from 5:30 to 8:30 on the top of the Gold Belt Tram. And once again, that's 9 to distilleries, a bunch of food, and a really fun one-of-a-kind raffle celebrating Juno.
That's pretty cool. I love that. And then I know you have some other events coming up. I'm sure we're going to have you back and talk about some of these later in the summer, but we can mention them quickly now. You have a golf tournament that's happening in August.
Oh, yes.
And that's a classic that you have been doing since 2015. Which is really awesome. And that, again, will have prizes and all kinds of things available right in the heart of summer.
It's the most unique golf tournament ever. So I'm from Chicago, and then I lived in Phoenix, Arizona. So I've seen some golf courses. So I remember the first time I went out to Juno's golf course. But you can't beat the views. And it's a 9-hole course, so it's not a full day of golf. So a lot of people come just and have a half day. We also set up this really ridiculous hole called the 10th hole, and there's like toilets and kiddie pools and all these things that you hit balls into. But if you hit the ball into the toilet, you win a prize.
Nice.
So even if people don't want to come out for a round of golf, they could come out and get a free hamburger and chip some balls and try to win some prizes.
I love that. And it's right there in the heart of summer, August 3rd. And of course, information at junochamber.com on that. And then of course, later in the fall, there's the annual dinner, which you do, which is is that a fundraiser? Or
yes, it's our largest one. But we started, so I took the job at the chamber 4 years ago to throw this party, right? My degree's in event planning. And I thought, it's the biggest party. I want to throw it. And so we did a celebration of mining that year. It was called All That Glitters. And then last year we did Under the Sea, and it was all maritime industries, including like marine biology. The university was part of it. This year, I don't have a name for it yet. Well, I do, but I'm not announcing it yet. But we're celebrating tradesmen and craftsmen and contractors, the people who build and make our homes and our buildings and everything, all sorts of contractors, electricians, anything. If you're a contractor, we're celebrating you this year at our gala.
You should make that a contest where people, if people can guess the name of the event, they win something because you don't have to announce it yet because you gave the theme. You gave tradesmen, people like they're doing all the things. Now people can start thinking about what is that going to be called, right? That's kind of fun. I like that.
Yeah, I like this plan. Maybe we'll announce it on air.
That would be great. Yeah. So we'll see you again, Maggie. It's the Juneau Chamber of Commerce, Spirits of Alaska, this Saturday, April 27th. It's at the top of the Gold Belt Tram. You can get tickets at JuneauChamber.com. It's from 5:30 to 8:30. It's a bunch of distilleries and food and all kinds of things, plus a raffle. And if you're interested in joining the Chamber of Commerce as a business, that information is on the website as well. Maggie, it's such a nice time to have you here. Thank you so much for coming in today. Gwyneth Cheesh.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay, up next, are you ready for a nerdy all-ages music show? It's the after-school special happening Thursday night at the Gold Town Theater. We'll find out all about that next. But first, this week's Garden Talk with KTOO's Chloe Plesnack. She talks with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski about starting and hardening off seedlings, as well as the process of transplanting. Here's Garden Talk.
Good morning, Ed. We've got another week of beautiful sunshine here in Juneau. What should growers be considering? Is it too late to begin starts?
Oh, not at all. Depends on the varieties and timing and are your whether your greenhouse is ready or your hoop houses are ready. Is your soil warm enough and all that? But in the meantime, we can be starting right now. Things like the cabbage family, cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. We can be starting. We talked last time, I think, about planting kale, mustard greens, spinach out in the gardens already. But those would be started indoors. And a couple of key points really are starting with some clean pots. Recycled pots are just fine. I've got piles of them. If somebody needs pots, please come out and get a truckload. But anyway, we want to wash pots in a little bit of soapy water and a little bit of bleach solution, and then start with some clean potting soil also, so that we're not introducing some contaminants, potential mold and fungus that could damage the newly sprouting little seeds. I like to pack the pots first with the soil and then water them. And eventually the first watering can be from the top, but once I get my seeds planted, I want to water from the bottom. That way the water seeps up into soil and we're not damaging the little plants by knocking them over when we're spraying on top of them or that sort of thing.
Could you describe the process of hardening off starts to me? How do you suggest keeping them from getting too cold?
That's really important. Because we are starting, we have these nice little, hopefully healthy seedlings indoors under lights where it's nice, you know, 70 degrees, consistent temperature, and no wind, although it's actually worth having a little breeze blowing across them, both for fungus prevention, and it toughens up the stems too. But we need to go into the cool outdoor conditions, which is very different, much brighter, especially on a day like today. So hardening them off is slowly getting them used to outdoor conditions. So this may be you may have your tray full of seedlings and take them outside. Actually, on a cloudy day is better. Or even if it's a sunny day, put them in a shady spot so it isn't so terribly bright. And only doing this for a short time, like an hour the first day, and then 2 hours tomorrow, and then 3 or 4 hours the next day. So you're gradually getting them used to longer time period outdoors. Hopefully, once they are ready for truly transplanting them out there, make sure you keep them watered during that time. And then once we put them into the ground, Then we want to protect them still out there. There is some horticultural fabric called Rime or Agribon. It's locally available from the local retailers. That is a very lightweight fabric. And you can just lift that up over the top of the plants. It too provides a little bit of shade, a little bit of frost protection, holds a few degrees of heat, but the rainwater can still go through, the air goes through, some light goes through. So this early protection is really important, and keeping the birds, jays, crows, ravens away from those new little seedlings, as they're curious, what's underneath this stuff? There might be something tasty for us that we want.
So let's talk seed potatoes. If I had some potatoes I wanted to plant, when should I be putting those in the ground? It's been a little chilly downtown still, but is that something that people can start thinking about now?
Well, I just got home last night. So what I'm going, and my beds where I'm going to be planting potatoes are covered with clear plastic. Hopefully yours and other people's are too. So the soil, this weather is great for soil warming, obviously. And especially if you got the plastic on top. I've got a soil thermometer to poke in to see how the temperature of the top 4 inches of soil feels. I mean, just feel it with your hands. You can tell the difference between an uncovered bed and a covered bed. I mean, it can be 10, 20, 30 degrees difference. Warmer is better. So seed potatoes have just arrived in town. Mine and other retailers have them. So getting them now, letting them sprout, letting them get 1 to 2 inch sprouts, if possible, is nice. Big potatoes can be cut into smaller pieces with 1 or 2 sprouts on each one. And I normally dig a trench down my beds, trench down 6-8 inches, sprinkle in a balanced garden fertilizer, mix it in the bottom soil, and put my pieces in that trench about a foot apart, and just barely cover them with soil so you can't see them. And I put the plastic back over the top. It's almost like a little mini greenhouse there in that trench. So again, I want that warmer conditions to help stimulate sprouting, stimulate rooting. And then as they grow up 3 or 4 inches, you move the soil from the sides in to cover the potatoes. And that's called hilling.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ed. Happy planting.
Thank you. It's going to be some beautiful weather, and I got new greenhouse pieces coming in later today. So got to get it ready so I can put those transplants into it. Tomatoes are ready almost.
Carry on with your business. There is nothing to see. You must be pretty desperate if you've come out looking for me. You regret how we parted. That is well understood. Now please leave me to sip on my wine and to wander the woods. Didn't I go where you sent me? Didn't I meet your demands? Didn't I answer your questions? Didn't I shake all your hands? Didn't I do the best I can? Wasn't I better than any man? Wasn't I cool and collected when all the chips hit the fan? Wasn't I cool? Wasn't I?
That's Molly Lele with Pantsuit Sasquatch, which is one of my favorite tunes. She did that live last year here in the studio and is back. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Billed as an evening of extracurricular tunes to stretch your brain and tickle your funny bone, After School Special is music, fun, and more. Tomorrow night, Thursday, April 25th at the Gold Town Theater, it's the brainchild of the one and only Marion Call, and will feature music, comedy, short films, and more. And in the studio now, we have Molly Lele, aka Molly Lewis, joining us, as well as Marion Call and Seth Boyer, who will also be performing tomorrow night. Gunath Chishai Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here. Wasaiyati, how's it going?
Gunath Chish Boston, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you all. I'm happy. This is the second iteration, if people might recall, that last last spring, we also had an after-school special. I mean, I had so many of those when I was young because they were on TV all the time. I learned a lot about drugs and all kinds of things that people got in trouble for. But this is really, tell us a little bit about this, Marion. What is after-school special?
After-school special is our attempt to marry, I think, our love of nostalgic children's entertainment television and early internet fun, as well as our music and our love of Juno. And in this case, our love of comics, MiniCon, and the sort of nerd culture gathering that's happening this weekend, Alaska Robotics MiniCon.
There's a lot of different ways to get an education, you know, when you want to sort of celebrate all those things and bring them together.
Absolutely. We, for example, all learned a lot from, for example, the Tiny Toon Adventures odes to They Might Be Giants, and from the Animaniacs Explaining Science.
And listing all the countries.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers, and from like Disney Afternoon, and from like there's a lot of things that I learned that didn't necessarily come from school, and a lot of them had really catchy songs. And so we just decided to sing a lot of those songs, as well as some of our own in that vein. So this is a show that is going to feature genuinely like Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street, Animaniacs.
Schoolhouse Rock.
I was just going to say, Schoolhouse Rock is a classic from when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Those we didn't have as many as when I was a kid, but Schoolhouse Rock almost every day, every Saturday for sure.
I just started flashing on like MathNet and a bunch of other like Electric Company we've talked about. There's a lot of those. It's good stuff.
Hey, you guys. Yeah, that was my favorite too. And also the other one that I love that people don't really remember from Electric Company is Spider-Man. Nobody knows who you are. That was another one. It was like
I did not have that on vinyl.
Oh, man.
Unlike the rest.
You have to license that to sing that on the radio?
I don't know. I hope not. That was on PBS, Electric Company, so I think it's fine.
We're good.
Because it was like a Spider-Man sketch that really wasn't. It was like TV studio version of Spider-Man on Electric Company. It was hilarious.
The nostalgia gets you.
It sticks in your brain.
And so that's what this is all about, right? Just having a little bit fun with all that learning and all that.
Truly, Marianne and I have been threatening to put the show together for like 10 years now, just based on all these sort of educational songs that we have in common.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to teach each other.
A lot of summer camp kind of music, a lot of things that you made hand motions to when you were a kid. Like we just enjoy that. And we like singing that along with our serious grown-up songs, you know, but we put this together last year for the first time with local Allison Wade, who you're familiar with, an amazing actress and singer. And we had a really great time down at the Crystal. This year, we've moved it to the Gold Town, an all ages venue. So we actually can have kids attend, and we do have a student rate to make it easier.
Oh, that's great.
Like kids, I think probably not very small kids because it is 7 and 9 p.m. But if you have a slightly older kid and or are a kid at heart, you are invited. We will have snack time. We will have nap time. We will have music. We will have some short films. It's going to be goofy.
I like nap time. Okay, Seth, how did you get involved in this wackiness?
Oh, that's a very good question. Let's see.
Your Honor.
I think I'm going to have to defer to my lawyer. By which I mean Marion, with whom I toured with as your guitarist. And like,
you played at an open mic in Anchorage, and I was like, dang, I need to play with this guy. Do you want to go on tour around the country? And for some reason you said yes.
I had nothing going on, let's be honest. It was a lot of playing the Pioneer Bar on 4th Avenue on Tuesday nights to 3 or 4 drunks, which great gig if you can get it. But yeah, no, we've the three of us have been playing music together for going on like over a decade now.
Yeah.
Just throughout the years. I have fewer like fun educational songs, but we did need to make sure that there was some just like actual, you know, contractually obligated educational content in there, not just all this fun stuff. Right. So I'm going to provide the vegetables. I'm going to do Brian Eno inspired ambient music. It's going to put everyone to sleep. They're going to be like just melt into their chairs.
You got to line up the alpha waves in the brain, you know. So
yeah, exactly.
We need this. We all need this.
What was that, Brian Eno? Was it Music for Airports?
Yep.
Yes.
Classic.
Yes.
I love that.
Great.
Indispensable. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually so good. Well, that's great. And I don't know Molly as well, but I'm assuming that it's also it's hard to say no to the one and only Marion Call.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
You have a very interesting opinion of me, but I will investigate this later.
If she says, fly down to Juno and be part of this wacky show we're we're doing, you say yes, right?
Yeah, generally speaking.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for coming. We like to, I don't put on too many shows in a given year, but I try to make them really interesting ones. So I do hope folks will come out if they're available Thursday night, 7 and 9 at the Gold Town. You can find tickets. They're on Eventbrite. It's on Facebook. But the easiest way to find tickets is just mariancall.com. Just Google me. I'll come up.
And hit the big poster, right? There's a poster on your website.
There's a poster on the website. You just click that. It takes you right to all the details. And if you have any questions, we will probably have some tickets at the door. But the Gold Town does that thing where it's empty and then suddenly it completely fills up. So you might want to get in advance.
It does do that at the Gold Town.
It does do that. It's a very fun place. I love the Gold Town.
Yeah. Thank God for Costa.
Oh, yeah. What would we do? Yes.
So I know Molly's going to play us a little song. But before we do that, I do want to mention there's one other performer that you are having on the docket.
The unforgettable, the inimitable, the notorious Sophie Lager. I don't know if enough of you in town have heard Sophie Lager perform or seen her perform, but she is a legend. And her band, the Flustered Cluckers, has my favorite name of any band in history. And
I'm not even going to try to say that on
it's
the
so
radio.
Good. You said it perfectly the first time.
I got the 7 seconds button.
Yes, her band's logo is an angry looking chicken. And they are terrific. She has an incredible voice. Was supposed to perform with me at Folk Fest, and then the COVID caught me before it caught everyone else in town, apparently. But she is incredible and is going to be singing a special set of Mr. Rogers songs that I am so excited about. She has the shoes. She got the shoes.
Really?
Like she's
done her research.
She is serious. She is ready. So Sophie Lager, one of the mighty musical Lager clan here in town, who doesn't get out and perform very often. We're really, really excited that she's with us. So
that's great. Well, Molly, why don't you step up to what we call our red carpet stage? Okay. As you get ready, I'm just going to give these details one more time. It's the after school special. It's tomorrow night, Thursday, April 25th at the Gold Town Theater. It starts at 7 o'clock, and for the best way to get tickets, you want to run over to mariancall.com and you can find out more information there. There's also an Eventbrite. If you Google it or search it on Eventbrite, there's also a Facebook event page as well. So Molly Lele, what song are you going to be doing for us, Molly?
I'm going to be playing a song called Chickadee.
Chickadee. Okay, here's Molly Lele with Chickadee.
What you tried to say to me, 'cause I heard a bird in a cedar tree. I told you its name, sung phonetically, chickadee-dee, chickadee-dee-dee. Were you saying something? Didn't catch a word. I was distracted by a little hummingbird. He was at the feeder, fighting with a bee. Chickadee-dee, chickadee-dee-dee. You had my attention, I just saw a squirrel. Heard you say you're leaving, there's another girl. Hope she makes you happy, but no guarantee.
I'm over here taking pictures and everything, forgetting about that we're on the radio. So, goodness geez, Molly, thank you so much for you all being here today, and break a leg tomorrow night for the event, after school special. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much,
thank
Boston.
Thanks.
Yeah, goodness geez.
Goodness geez.
Okay, up next, spring is here and summer is just around the corner. We'll chat with the friends of the Jensen Olsen Arboretum about what's in store for the season. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Thank you.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Ginger Hudson is the horticultural manager of the Arboretum, and Pat White is the president of the Friends of the Jensen Olson Arboretum. And they join me now for a fun sneak peek at what's in store this summer at everyone's favorite Arboretum. Gunnath Cheesh, Ha'i Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio this afternoon. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
Thank you. It's going great. It's been a fabulous spring so far.
Yeah, the sun is out today. It's so good.
I mean,
it's
roses blooming.
We can feel it, right? Yeah. We can feel the summer almost here. Does it show at the Arboretum at this time of year as well? Like, do things start to happen? When does it start to happen out
things
there?
Things are happening. Well, generally, the end of March, the snowdrops start coming up just as the snow's melting. Crocuses have been up. They're about faded out right now, but that's okay because now corydalis are blooming, primroses are blooming, pulmonaria is blooming. There is color on the ground.
Oh, that's so nice. And when do the hours change for the Arboretum? Do they ever
change? We're open now. Okay. 5 days a week, Wednesday through Sunday, 9 to 5. That was April 1st.
April 1st, that starts. Okay. Because you can still visit in the winter, right? But it's much smaller hours and there's
Friday
not as much
Sunday.
To see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Friday through Sunday only. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So now this is going to be, there's lots of summer events that happen around what goes on out there. But first, I want to ask you, Pat, about the Friends of the Arboretum. Because we know we go visit the Jensen Olson Arboretum. What is the Friends of the Arboretum?
Well, like many friends groups, we fundraise for special projects. And we support the events out there with our volunteers and our board members. And like we raised Rose for the lovely Lou, which is a bathroom that we upgraded, accessible bathroom we put in 2019, I think. And the Chilcat shelter, the benches, we help out that way. Last year it was the potting shed. The potting area cover, so people don't have to stand in the rain and pot plants. So we help out that way.
And it's really a lovely place. You know, it's just a great place to go and spend a little bit of time and meditate and just be around that, right? It's not huge, but that's what's so great about it, too, is there's so much inside it for as small a footprint as it is. I mean, it's I don't know, how big is it? Is it a couple acres?
The complete acreage is about 14 acres.
Okay.
The cultivated area is about 5 acres.
Okay.
And in that 5 acres, we pack in about 180 species of primroses, 125 species of trees and woody plants, so we can be called an arboretum. And we have about a 5,000 square foot vegetable garden that's been in the same place for 100 years.
Wow. Yeah. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was left, right, as to the city.
It was donated. It was the first piece of land that held a conservation easement created by the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. So Caroline Jensen worked with the land trust to create this easement, which governs the use of the property to make sure that it stays as it is in perpetuity. And then it was turned over to the city to manage. So I am a city employee. My two seasonal gardeners are city employees. Part of our budget comes from the city.
I see. Okay. And are you in essence, are you as well the caretaker?
I guess you could say that. I mean, I'm always watching over the property, but I really am the manager of the property.
Okay, I see. Okay, I see how that works. Okay, so let's talk about some of the events that are coming. I know, I think we have a couple coming up in May. I think there's a special day in May that's happening, right? What's happening?
Four of them.
Yes, May is a big month.
It's a big month. Tell us about them.
So the first thing we work on is the outside of the site is the super plant sale that's been going on for many years that happens at Safeway parking lot. We're one of the five organizations that manage that. We're not managing it this year, but we have a table there from 9 to noon on Saturday before Mother's Day. Then the next day is Mother's Day, and that's a really big event at the Arboretum. We're trying to make it big. And Tom Locher will play, and we'll have refreshments, coffee, cookies, cakes, that sort of thing. Maybe some tours. I'm not sure what that will happen, but it's Tom will be there from 11 to 2 to play his music and show off the garden. And, you know, it's on Pearl Harbor, so there's water there. There's seals. There's whales. There's, in the late summer, there's fish jumping. It's, you know, it's just a really nice place. And then we have Primula Day and Public Gardens Day at the end of the month. Then we have some private events that go on in May as well. Do you want to talk about that?
Certainly. Primula Day and Public Gardens Day will be May 25th. So folks might want to mark their calendar for an on-site plant sale that will be associated with that. We'll talk about primroses and we will have a tour that day. Backing up a little bit, May is Alaska Native Plant Month, and we will offer a native plant walk on May 19th. We'll focus on trees because May 20th is Alaska Arbor Day. So that'll be a nice event. We have a lot of school groups. We also work with a lot of folks in the community to bring children out to participate in events on the grounds. One coming out this week is the TLCC classes.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be planting Tlingit potatoes in the historic veggie garden and along the beach fringe.
I love it.
This is the traditional way to plant them, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing I want to talk about is our collaborations with communities, groups. We work with TLCC, and we're going to work with Theater Alaska again this summer, where this will be the third summer of production out there. This year it's going to be Pride and Prejudice.
I have full disclosure on that.
Yeah.
I'm in that play.
Oh, good.
We'll I'll be playing Mrs. Bennett.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very good.
So I'll be out there performing at the Jensen Olsen Arboretum. I can't wait.
It's very exciting to have that because it brings people who don't normally come out to the garden. And that's one of our always goals as a board is reach out to people who don't know about the garden, who wouldn't normally come, give them something to come to and experience it. And then maybe they'll come back. You know, this is a free place. It's a free public garden. So there's no worry about, can I afford it? Maybe the gas to get there, but otherwise it's free. And what else are we collaborating? School groups.
Gold Belt families will be out Sunday. And then in the midsummer, Cooperative Extension brings the Alaska Experience Camp.
Oh, nice.
For a traditional landing.
Yeah. Wow.
The site.
It's really an incredible place, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying, Pat, is so important because once people go there the first time, and I love getting kids to get out there because then they get to see it and they know it's there. And then they'll beg their parents to go back. You know,
well, let's talk about our educational programs after you're done.
Yeah. No, I just want to say it's so cool because that first experience, if you can get people there, even if you know of it, take a friend there, right? Who hasn't been there? Because once you see it, you go, oh, this is like a gem right here in Juneau. And then you can go back and go back and go back. And so education programs.
Yeah. We have four of them, I think, planned for the summer. The most popular being Bug Day, which is in June. And the Saturday before Mother's Day, there is a tide pooling, experience with families. So I think it's very low tide. So we have experts come and teach people and have the kids learn about what's happening below low tide and their families. And we do it again. Bug Day is June 22nd. And that's a very popular, usually sells out, people reserve a spot. and that's fun. And then mini master naturalists in July, and then a toddler trot up the point, the Point Caroline Trail.
We're
doing a bunch of different things for different ages and families.
That's great. I know the full calendar of events. You can find everything at friendsjoarboretum.org. There's an events tab, and that pretty much lists everything that's going on. You can also go to the city website for the Jensen Olson Arboretum. That's through the Parks and Rec webpage on the main juno.org website. And that's great. One thing I want to mention before we go today is this really cool annual conference thing that's going to be happening next year. This Primrose Society. What's this all about, Ginger?
Well, one of the things that puts the Jensen Olson Arboretum on the map is our nationally accredited collection of primula, commonly called primroses. And that was one of Caroline's favorite flowers. So the previous manager built on that collection to make it accredited. And as a result, we're a member of the American Primrose Society. And every year they hold a national show and conference. And these past 2 years, the president of the American Primrose Society lives here in Juneau. And so she facilitated holding the annual conference in Juneau next year. May 2025, the American Primrose Society will convene on Juneau for tours. We'll have special guests speaking. We'll have a show. So folks, start practicing now how to prepare your primroses to enter them for judging in shows.
Oh, wow.
And or just be ready to come look at them because they're all shapes and sizes. And it's just really fascinating that what you think is a one type of primrose, there are many different colors and forms.
So is the conference, is it full of workshops for anybody in the community to be able to attend and things like that?
Yes, there will be different events, presenters, people talking about how to grow them, people talking about how to engage folks in your garden because you have primroses. Stuff like that. And yes, it will be open to anybody to attend.
Well, I'm sure about this time next year, we'll have you back even before then, probably for other events that are coming up. Mm-hmm. Usually we talk about the super plant sale right before Mother's Day, things like that. And but this is exciting. This is kind of cool because it will be exposing Juneau and, of course, the Jensen Olson Arboretum to a lot more people and we'll get the word around the world, right?
Yes, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Ginger and Pat, for coming in today. It's the Friends of the Jensen Olson Arboretum and, of course, the horticultural manager of the Arboretum, which is just awesome. There's all kinds of events going on, started a bunch of stuff going on in May. We talked about it all on the show. And, of course, you can go to friendsjoarboretum.org and you can find out all the different events that are happening. And I believe that everything is no charge, which is just amazing. So when the fundraisers do come up for the Friends of the Jensen Olson Arboretum, you can participate in those to support all of this great activity and educational things that they do. Yes.
And you could become a volunteer.
Oh, volunteers always like needed, right?
Always needed. And on our website, it's easy. I think it's under events. I'm not sure.
Support tab.
Support tab, right. Mm-hmm. And then become a volunteer, become a member, become a volunteer. You can become a member for $15. Easy breezy.
I love that. Donate some of your
and you get memos from me every month. All kinds of good stuff.
There you go. I really appreciate you both coming in. Going to the Cheese Friends of the Jensen Olson Arboretum. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That will do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Tomorrow, Culture Rich Conversations has a look at hot topics in Black culture so far in 2024. That's tomorrow at 3 p.m. Juneau Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road in the Jensen Olson Arboretum. Find the show online at ktoo.org/Juneau Afternoon where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Theme music by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks and have a glorious Juneau evening.